Hi there. I am author and host KY Thompson, and this is KY Thompson Books, the place to be to listen to compelling stories. In every episode, I read a selection from one of my works of fiction, whether a book, chapter, or short story. On today's episode, I will continue to read more of The Cardboard Sign, Laura's View, book number 2. Laura's house burned down in a fire, and her life has been upside down ever since. The Cardboard Sign, Laura's View, book 2 is available where most ebooks are sold or by visiting kythompson.com. For a printed copy, visit barnesandnoble.com. Fall 2013, notebook entry number 4. The chorus class is supposed to wear navy blue bottoms, light blue shirts, and black dress shoes. I do not own any of that stuff. I thought about just missing the performance, but against my better judgment, I told Mom about the outfit requirement. Mom said she would get the items I needed, but I do not know how that is possible. When I met Mom on Woodrow Street the other day before the fall play, we walked back to the shelter, just like we always do. Mom sat on our bed and pulled out of her backpack folded clothes, and a pair of shoes. I asked, where in the world did she get this stuff? I was afraid she stole it, but my mom is practically a saint. I really cannot imagine her stealing. Mom collected the money by asking people for donations. She went to the local thrift store and bought what I needed. The kind gesture brought tears to my eyes, and I hugged Mom for a long time. We do not have anything, yet she managed to purchase the exact outfit that I needed for the fall play. Mom said we will save the clothes from my choral performance for any special days or programs I may have in the future. Hopefully, no one will notice it is the same outfit over and over again. Last school year, I never worried about having pretty clothes and if Mom had enough money to purchase my many needs. The fire changed our lives in an instant. Notebook entry number 5. The fall play is a wrap. I was mostly nervous about my outfit, but I think it was decent. At least I did not stick out. Mom did my hair in 2 ponytails, my usual hairstyle. Instead of 2 ponytails side by side with a part in the middle, I had 1 ponytail on top of my head and the other was a low ponytail. My chorus class sang the song before the play without any problems. I was relieved, because a few students in my class had big trouble remembering their lines. My class sat in the audience to watch the play until it was our time to sing again. The star in the play was Casey Barting. She was in the 6th grade like me, but we do not have any classes together. I see her in the hallways all the time and sometimes in the cafeteria. Casey is always surrounded by a lot of people. She is never mean to me, but I doubt she knows I exist. At lunch, Casey sits at the same table every day and eats with a group of 4 girls. One of the girls is in my gym class, Keela Wells. I do not like her very much. Keela always asks probing questions about my clothes and she whispers behind my back. Keela is one of the reasons why I always sit outside on the bench to eat my lunch. I would just ignore lunch altogether, but Harrison Middle School has really delicious food. And I'm not just saying that because I'm homeless. I've had good food before. The cafeteria food is the best. At my old school, no one liked to eat the cafeteria food. Harrison Middle School even serves shrimp and steak. Although I want to blend in the background, I am not giving up free shrimp and steak. I take my food tray outside every day, eat on the bench by myself, and sneak back into the cafeteria to put my tray on the tray belt. For some reason, Casey ran up to my mom after the school play and gave a friendly hello. I watched the exchange in the background, and Mom spoke back politely. Mom and Casey chatted for a bit, and then Casey left with her family. I asked Mom how she knew Casey. Mom said she did not know her, but she recognized her passing by Woodrow Street on occasion. Notebook entry number 6. As they always do, one afternoon, a few weeks after the fall play, I met Mom on the corner of Woodrow Street. About an hour later, here comes Casey Barteen walking right up to us. I wanted to hide. Mom told me not to move, and that is the only reason I did not hide between the bushes. Casey looked cold, and I cannot blame her. The weather this fall is very cold. I may be biased because now Mom and I spend a lot of time outside. Casey wore a tiny skirt and tights, and it was much too cold for that outfit. Her outfit may not have been that tiny, but she is tall. She is one of the tallest girls in the 6th grade. She has long legs too. Casey walked up to us and was so proud to speak to Mom. I have no clue why she's so friendly. No one else is that friendly anymore. Reluctantly, I introduced myself to Casey Barteen. It was Mom who nudged my elbow to speak. Why did I have to introduce myself to one of Keela Wells' best buds? Keela Wells got pink eye right before the fall play and could not play Ugly Stepsister number 1. It was a role that really spoke to her heart because Keela is evil. I see it as Keela got some good old karma for picking on me ever since we've met. Mom insisted I speak to Casey, and I said in a rushed voice that my name is Laura Greenwell, I attend Harrison Middle School, and I informed Casey that we were both in the fall play. Casey's eyeballs grew as big as golf balls, probably because she has not noticed me at school at all. If I'm not being picked on, my classmates do not know that I'm alive. Casey's guilt won the best of her, and she invited me to her house on Saturday. Crazy, right? I hope she does not think I'm some type of charity case. I certainly am not one. Mom and I do not get invitations anymore, so I was intrigued. Mom looked at me. I shrugged my shoulders to signal that I was okay with going to Casey's house. I just hope Keela is not going to be there. If so, all those years of self-defense class before the fire will have to kick in. I may be homeless, but I am not a punk. So it is all set. Mom will walk with me to Casey's house on Saturday if her mom gives her permission. Notebook entry number 7. Casey found me in the hallway a few days later after our unusual encounter and gave me the address to her house. Mom and I are supposed to be at Casey's house at 2 o'clock p.m. I took the sticky note and memorized the address, just in case I lost the bright pink sticky note in the shape of a smiley face. Even Casey's upbeat personality reflects through her sticky notes and writing. She dots her I's with hearts. I remember when I had a lively personality before the fire. At 1:50 p.m. on Saturday, Mom and I made it to Casey's house. We were both so nervous. What would Casey's family think of us? Would we be good enough? Casey and an older lady answered the door and showed us inside. On the outside, Casey's home looked big, but that is an understatement. On the inside, Casey's house was massive. Mom and I never lived in a home as big as the one on 517 Muir Drive. The living room alone was the size of my old house. Mom nudged me to stop staring, but I could not help it. Casey's house equals huge. Shortly after we arrived at Casey's house, Casey's mom bust through the door with groceries. She greeted us with a friendly, but a tad bit phony hello. I could tell she did not want us there, but Casey pushed her to agree. I've seen the scenario many times already. Regardless of how Casey's mother truly feels, she was a gracious host. The meal was simple but thoughtful. After she and Casey's grandmother eyeballed us for a full hour, the tension began to decrease. Casey then gave me a tour of her impressive bedroom. There was a regular bed and a day bed. Two beds for one person? That is special. Her room was decorated with lots of pink and hearts and smiley faces everywhere. Being in Casey's room made me happy, and I forgot about my own troubles for a second. Apparently, Mom and Mrs. Bartin somehow hit it off. On our way back to the shelter, Mom mentioned Mrs. Bartin and Mrs. Winston, Casey's grandmother, invited us back for Sunday brunch. After the Sunday brunch, our life with the Bartins became intertwined. Casey trusted me very early. Her openness allowed me to put my guard down. Although, in the back of my mind, Mom's instructions when someone asked me personal questions kept flashing. Always answer vaguely. Casey asked questions about our living arrangements and why my mom stands on the corner of Woodrow Street every day. I explained the fire and quickly explained the shelter. I hope the little information I gave Casey does not bite me in the butt. If she uses the information I gave her as ammunition for Keela Wells, I will deal with both of them. However, Casey was open about her father and how he behaved the last time he was home. Mr. Bartin came home from active duty and was not the same man before he left. Casey, Mrs. Bartin, Mrs. Winston, and Charlize, that is Casey's sister, prepped for the homecoming of Mr. Bartin. They prepared his favorite foods, put up decorations, wore their best outfits, and were excited about his arrival. When Mr. Bartin arrived home, his demeanor was a little distant despite his familiar warmness the Bartins were accustomed to before his last active duty stint. Charlize had a new stereo with new music. Mr. Bartin and Charlize always connected through music. When Charlize turned on the stereo and played the music loudly, Mr. Bartin went into a mad rage. He screamed over and over and broke things in what appeared to be anger. Mrs. Bartin was able to calm him down a little. She put him in the car and the two took a drive. When Mrs. Bartin came back home, she was alone. The Bartins have not seen Mr. Bartin since. thank you for tuning into K.Y. Thompson Books. This week's selection was a chapter from The Cardboard Sun, Laura's View, book number 2, written by yours truly, K.Y. Thompson. If you like this episode, please leave a review, tell a friend, a neighbor, and family. Share your favorite episode with them, or share the entire K.Y. Thompson Books podcast show. To help keep this podcast going, you can donate by clicking the donate link in the show notes. I am K.Y. Thompson. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at K.Y. Thompson Books. You can also visit my website to learn more information at kythompson.com. Until next time, thank you for listening.